Dateline, November 12, 1980. Berserk takes the maze game to dark places.
Intruder alert, intruder alert.
Next to dinosaurs, there is no concept that holds a stronger grip on the imagination of children more than robots. As creatures which we know once lived but are now no more, dinosaurs represent the distant past, and are as close to real monsters that most kids will ever get to see. Robots represent the opposite, in that they are what we all imagine as our future. They might be real in our present day, but only in a limited sense. Just like we can see dinosaur skeletons and only sort of grasp that they were living, breathing creatures, we can look at primitive robots and let our sense of make-believe fill in the gaps. Surely someday we'll all be hanging out with walking, talking, mechanical friends, assuming they don't have other ideas about our relationship. As we discussed when Missile Command turned 40 this year, the birth of consumer video games was made possible by the advancement of computer technology, and games grew alongside that cyber expansion at a rapid pace. Likewise, robotics quickly leapt from the realm of pure science fiction to real-life factories, legitimizing the fantasy that we might eventually live alongside androids like the ones we saw on Star Trek, Logan's Run, and of course, Star Wars. In the midst of all this cultural mingling, Berserk arrived in arcades on November 12, 1980. It is a hard game to describe in that it doesn't quite look like any of its peers. The phrase maze game could apply, but there are no dots to eat like in Pac-Man, which was already a global phenomenon by this point. What it does do is come down hard on visions of our robot future, as Berserk takes place in a nightmare, where it's people versus machines, and the machines always win.
Yes, the humanoid must not escape.
Crudely put, Berserk is a single-screen arcade game where the player and the enemies are stick figures trapped in a maze. There are three exits on every screen, which scrolls the action to a new room, which is randomly selected from 64,000 different patterns. Everyone in the maze can shoot lasers at each other, and getting hit by a laser or touching anything in the maze, walls included, is deadly for the player and enemies alike. If that was all there was to Berserk, it would not be as well remembered today, but the game adds just enough flair to make the experience more intense. The player character and the enemies are both human-like, but are distinct in design and in motion. The player is a tall, lean figure whose limbs flail as they run through the maze. In fact, Berserk is notable for its use of an 8-way joystick in an era when few games allowed for such free movement. Conversely, the enemies are shorter, stockier, and they stoically march rather than run. When the player attacks, they point their arm and fire, but the enemies shoot lasers from their single oscillating eye. In other words, even given the graphical limitations of the time, it is clear that the player is controlling a human being against a legion of inhuman foes.
Fight like a robot.
But I haven't even gotten to the best part. Berserk talks. Yes, even though it was made in a year when few video games even managed to include music, Berserk uses synthesized speech to give the enemies an extra layer of otherness. The arcade flyer boasts of the game's unsurpassed 30-word vocabulary, which the enemy robots use to shout threats at the player, whom they address as the humanoid, very likely teaching me that word in the process. For a 1980 arcade game, Berserk is incredibly fair. The player is outnumbered but rarely overwhelmed by enemies, because everything that hurts the player hurts the robots too. Arriving on a new stage only to watch the robots shoot each other or smash into a wall is not an uncommon sight in Berserk, but even when the AI commits suicide, the player still earns points. With no timer and largely inept robots on every stage, Berserk is nearly a cakewalk. Or at least it would be, were it not for Evil Otto. Evil Otto is the wild card of Berserk, a very special opponent with no clear precedent but plenty of descendants. After a few seconds of play on any stage, or immediately after the last robot on screen is slain, a bouncing ball with a smiley face appears out of nowhere. This is Evil Otto, and it bounces towards the player at a steadily increasing pace. Otto ignores all walls and lasers. Otto is invulnerable and unstoppable. Otto is the juggernaut. The only safe strategy when Otto appears is to book it for an exit and scroll to the next stage, which sends Otto away for a spell. But Otto doesn't have a weakness, and the game doesn't have an ending. Eventually, Otto will win every time. For me as a kid, this was enough sensory input for Berserk to be an attention grabber, but it was a few years later that the game gained a genuinely frightening reputation as a killer. Never mind those Polybius rumors, this is on the record. On April 3rd, 1982, 18-year-old Peter Burkowski played a game of Berserk in Calumet City, Illinois, only to walk away from the machine and drop dead. Doctors linked his untimely passing to a heart condition and pointed out that any number of stressful activities could have potentially killed him. But that does not change the fact that from that moment on, Evil Otto had a body count. While I rarely saw it in arcades, Berserk got a highly competent Atari 2600 port, which lost the synthetic speech and shrunk the screen, but delivered just about everything else. If anything, the smaller screen makes the Atari version more tense than the arcade version, as there is less room to maneuver. A later port for the Atari 5200 restored the speech, but since that system tanked, it is barely remembered today. Likewise, Berserk would earn a sequel called Frenzy, which ratchets up the danger by introducing ricocheting lasers and destructible walls, but it never found the same cultural foothold that the first game did. Maybe it was the increased competition in arcades, maybe the stick figure graphics were too dated for 1982, or maybe Frenzy just wasn't distinct enough from Berserk to stand out. Today, 40 years later, Berserk is a footnote in arcade history, and most of its modern reputation stems not from its achievements, but from that shocking account of a teenager dying. But for a few years at least, Berserk was as recognizable as Pac-Man or Donkey Kong, an arcade classic that offered real tension, as it used its meager electronic voice to egg players into inserting another quarter. If that sounds like an exaggeration, allow me to enter into record testimony from witnesses Jerry Buckner and Gary Garcia, two American musicians who immortalized the arcade hits of 1981 on their album Pac-Man Fever. The eighth and final track of that album was titled Goin' Berserk. Thank you for listening to this audio version of my latest This Week in Retro column, a Retronauts exclusive for our Patreon supporters. My name is Diamond Fight, and you can follow me on Twitter at FEITCLUB. Good night!